2017 Pro Bowl vote is here. It's time to vote for the NFL's best players to earn their spot at Pro Bowl, where the best meets the next. Help your favorite player earn a coveted spot on the Pro Bowl roster. Vote today at NFL.com/Pro Bowl vote.
Going to the hurry-up offense.
Yes, hi and hello, football fans, and welcome to the Dave Dameshek football program, presented as always by McDonald's. All day breakfast, go get you some of them tender vittles. Put them in your belly. You now have an expanded menu from which to choose. We got a full boat brief, though, it will be here in Studio 66 to get you ready for Week 6. Game picks coming up and a whole bunch else. Matt Harmon, Handsome Hank, and newcomer Cynthia Freeland making
hair.
Her debut.
With
wet-headed and all. We only have a couple of minutes legitimately with Cynthia Freeland. She is in high demand here at NFL Media. Hello, Cynthia. How are you?
I'm good. I'm happy to be here.
What a pleasure. Let's jump right into it, though. Time's a-wasting. I start with you, Cynthia. Put you on the spot here. You can watch her on NFL Fantasy Live, also NFL.com, making the fantasy pages.
Game day morning.
Yeah, the actual important
show. Time to show off about everything. I didn't know that it was brag time.
I thought we were hurrying up.
I know. That's what I thought, too, Cindy.
There's always
time
for that one.
All right. Which teams from the NFC East are going to the playoffs? Cynthia, I start with you.
Are you going teams plural or team?
You can name just one team. Of course, I think as the rules state, they're required to provide at least one team for the postseason.
I believe that is still the case.
I'm going Eagles.
Eagles, period.
Maybe Giants, but Eagles.
Listen, I'd really? Like a hard and fast decision.
Hard and fast Eagles.
Eagles. Handsome.
I'm going to take the Cowboys and the Eagles, with the Cowboys winning the division.
Ooh, Harmon, how say you?
I like it.
Just Dallas for me.
Just the Cowboys.
Look at that. Dallas. Look at the spread there.
That's fun, and that's why I bring it up, because it really has emerged as a compelling division, perhaps the most compelling division in the NFL. Make a case for each of these four teams getting to the postseason. DC coming on a little bit. A big one against the Eagles. Perhaps Carson Wentz is going to regress now that the league's had a look at his tape and everything else. What do you think about that specifically, Cynthia?
About Carson Wentz.
About Carson Wentz. Regression coming or sustained success for the Rook?
Did you see what happened after he threw that pick? Granted, it was the end of the game against the Lions. You know what happened? Nothing. He looked like a stud, like a veteran. I don't think he's going to have regression in the form of crazy chaos. I think they're putting him in a situation and giving him the opportunity to succeed. For me, Carson Wentz is the real deal.
I'd ask the other two people in Studio 66 here, but we haven't the time. Next thing up, how many fantasy points is Colin Kaepernick going to get? Harmon, the fantasy guru, go.
Oh, I don't know about guru, but I'm going to say 15. And that's
points.
I feel like that's a pretty conservative projection. Blaine Gabbert averages 14.2 so far, and that's almost all because he leads the NFL in rushing yards by quarterbacks. And, I mean, Kaepernick is the better runner, so I'm going to be conservative and say 15 in his first start.
Handsome.
Yeah, I mean, 15, 14, somewhere in that area.
Of course, if you aren't aware, they're traveling to upstate New York to play the – Western New York, I guess.
I believe it is Western.
Referred to. Cynthia, how say you?
I just don't think that they put him in there and restructured his contract, especially taking out an injury clause, if they don't want him to air it out. I think we see a little more like Chip Kelly craziness, a little more passing. And, of course, passing to running backs, he gets those points too, to Carlos Hyde, you know, presumably. Then to me, I think – the median, 15, but I think he's got a lot more sneaky upside, because they're just going to try to see what happens.
Here's the storyline one from this game. Shady McCoy has it in for Chip Kelly, wants to blow up. We know Rex Ryan probably is willing.
I love a good revenge narrative.
I think he'll be one of Rex's captains this week.
Well, sometimes, that's exactly right.
That's Rex's thing.
I think some teams, the head coach might try to tamp that down. This isn't about you, fella. This is about the team getting a result, and I'm sure true with Rex, but you do know Rex probably vibes to Shady's interest in sticking it to his head coach. I think Shady's going to have a big game. But like Cynthia says, I think Colin Kaepernick is – here's a bold prediction. He's going to have more fantasy points than Matt Ryan this week. Maybe not
that
bold.
Ooh, hot take right here.
Well, Matt Ryan is in Seattle, and so that's a tough spot to drop him into after a week after coming off of another tough spot, a mile high. I think Colin Kaepernick, as I keep saying, Blaine Gabbert can run. Colin Kaepernick can run, though.
Yeah.
Is that what – wait, did I say Blaine Gabbert can run? Colin Kaepernick can run.
You got it.
I did get that.
Nailed it. You nailed it. Yeah.
A double down on a meager statement. Yeah. I don't know why I needed to do that. Let's But fantasy people, real quick way in here, and again, Matt Harmon, another fantasy
real
voice,
quick.
As I point out, don't real quick me with the drop.
Real
That's
quick.
Unfair to me. I feel like Kaepernick in there benefits Carlos Hyde a great deal.
Yes.
Kaepernick already – I mean, Hyde already off to a nice season, but I think he's going to be even better now.
Chip Kelly, that's the way he rolls. I think that it's a running back first kind of opportunity. And for me, Colin Kaepernick adds a lot of volatility, meaning upside as well as downside. But volatility to me means chaos. You could have some chaos with Carlos Hyde. I think both of them are high risk, high rewards this week.
Well, you know, and Kaepernick, ability to attack the defensive edge, it really makes, you know, it's a numbers game then. It's just like it was in 2011. It favors the rushing attack there when you have two viable options running, the two scary options running at you.
He also opens a deep passing game more.
Right.
I mean, Gabbert, I believe, has a 43 passer rating on passes traveling over 20 yards in the air. And Kaepernick had an 85 last year. So, I mean, he's much more adept at the deep passing. I mean, you don't even really need advanced numbers to just watch Blaine Gabbert. You see,
he throws a fastball, though.
He throws it really hard, but it's just not really in the right area. So I think you know that he's going to just threaten the defense more, open up more running room for the running backs, not just with his legs, but also with his arm.
Well, and I guess the name who benefits most from that is Torrey Smith as well.
Couldn't get much worse, so.
Yep, if nothing else, that's what he does best. And lastly, before you run off to all your fancy duties, Cynthia, what's the best number? Oh, I'm trying to read here. What's the best number? You're a numbers person. What's the best number?
Like the best thing to look at if you want to just look at one number.
Answer it how it hits your ear. I have my opinion on what the best jersey number is.
Oh, got it. The best jersey number.
Well, it can be whatever you want it to be.
The best jersey number in football is 20. I'm from Michigan, so that tells you why. I mean.
Wait a second. 20? Why? Why is that Michigan friendly?
Barry Sanders. Come on.
Oh, Detroit. I'm thinking
Barry
University
Sanders.
Of. That's what it is.
Barry
about.
Sanders. That's. I grew up like, you know, we'd go to Meijer, we'd get Goldfish. I'd pick one. I would name him Barry Sanders. We'd go rinse
okay.
Repeat.
Okay. Perfect.
Repeat.
You're too young to remember the guy who wore 20 before that was Billy Sims, who is one of my three or four favorite running backs
See?
Ever to watch.
It works out both ways then.
Sure.
All right. Cynthia, you must run. That was a great job.
Wait,
go
sorry.
Off and do your stuff. We have to. This was an
appetizer.
Appetizer.
Right. Yeah. Well,
MVP.
I mean, wet hair, appetizer.
Yeah.
A fun little warm up, but we'll do it again sooner rather than later.
Yes.
Meantime, like I say, NFL Fantasy Live, Game Day Morning, NFL.com, giving you the fantasy tips and beyond. A pleasure to see you. She is in contention for the NFL Media's Rookie of the Year, Reggie Wayne.
Roy.
That's big stuff.
We have Reggie Wayne. Who
Darn
else?
It. Reggie Wayne? I don't want to be up against him in anything.
Oh, come on. What's he ever done?
I hope you fellows are ready to answer best number here.
Oh, I've got a lot of thoughts on that.
Beat it, Freeland. We'll see you. We'll see you hopefully soon in the hallways, if not not here in Studio 66. All right, let's get to it. Handsome Hank, why don't you answer it next?
My answer, similar to Cynthia, I'm going to choose number 13 is Dan Marino's number. What I like that he did is that he picked a number that's supposedly unlucky and still overcame all the bad luck to be the best quarterback of all time.
Did he?
Yes.
You sure?
I'm positive.
There's one thing that he didn't
do. Yeah, all right. We don't need to go into that.
Mm. Well, maybe if he hadn't worn 13, he would have won the big game.
Possibly.
It's an argument to be made.
You know what number is cursed? I've made this case before on the Sheck Report. 14 may be the most
It's hideous. It's such an ugly number.
It doesn't work. Does
well, it's
it?
A
doesn't...
cursed in sports history if
is
you
it...
go through it. Even the guys who,
I'm
who
down
wore
to talk about that.
First of all, the guys who wore it best. Are Pete Rose and Dan Fouts. Well, Dan Fouts never even got to a Super Bowl, and Pete Rose isn't in the Hall of Fame for reasons that we know.
Right.
And those are the two success stories of 14. Mm-hmm. If you go through it, Andy Dalton, the BB gun, he needs to get rid of 14. That's the first order of business.
Well, that's not going to happen.
There are some numbers that I think look bad on some positions, but better on others, especially the numbers in the teams that the quarterbacks and the wide receivers wear. But 14, ugly on receivers, ugly on quarterbacks. It's just all around not a good number.
Well, so what is the best?
The best number is 25, and it's really not arguable. For one, it's aesthetically pleasing to look at.
I mean, right out of the gate, I disagree with that.
I don't agree with that.
Okay,
it makes
well,
you look too wide.
No. Also,
yeah, it's too bulky.
It's
numbers.
Too bulky.
You're right.
No, but that. Well, that's
I like 22.
Incorrect.
If you're going
22
going in the 20s, 22 is good.
I think 22 is better on cornerbacks than it is on running backs. I think there's a difference.
You're right.
There.
It's good for a corner.
Yeah, it's like Asante Samuel really pulled off the 22.
You know what's funny about that is that when you can see generations, sort of like Cynthia was talking about, 20 running backs of a certain age probably like that number because of the association with one of the best to ever do it. 24 has now emerged as the number to have as a corner.
For corners, yeah.
Probably because of Ike Taylor, if not, maybe Darrell Revis.
Champ Bailey was 24.
Too. Yep, that's right. Now the kid, Josh Norman wears 2-4. Who else? But anyway, go ahead, Harm.
But 25 I like because it's a quarter. And if we know that among change, quarter is the most valuable, not only because it is, you know, worth more than pennies, nickels, and dimes. But also, if you've ever, I was tweeting yesterday about being at the laundromat. Like, if you use a laundromat in your, or the machine in your building, the quarter, I mean, you're hunting around like drugs for
jerseys.
Quarters. No, but it's all related. Numbers and jerseys, it makes you think
and
of things.
And coins at the laundromat.
Exactly, because that, like, listen, if you go to a laundromat, you know how valuable a quarter is.
So what you're saying is, whenever you see a running back or a corner wearing number 25, you think, oh, I better take some quarters to the laundromat.
Or I just
that helps you.
I just get that same feeling of like when you find a random quarter, you're like, oh, man, what a win. Also, like as a kid, I used to play those claw machines a lot. And that was another thing. Like anytime I'd get a quarter, I'd be like, saving this for the claw machine.
And then you got a jersey with a number 25 on.
See,
what are we doing here?
No human being.
I mean, you've really gone down a rabbit hole because no human being in the recorded history of people has ever gotten any victory out of that claw game.
No. Me and my sister used to be money on that as kids.
More with the money talk. We're trying to talk about jersey numbers. The correct answer, I've said it before, I say it again, and it will be true for all of time. 7 is the correct answer because it works across the four major sports. If you're a QB, awesome.
You
7.
Look like he's actually is a number. Not only is he wearing 7, he is making the shape of a number.
Well,
7.
The thing I always say about the number 7, make it with your hand. Make it with your hands or just look at it. It's aspirational. Why? Because it's an arrow pointed upward to the stars. That's where you're headed if you're wearing number 7. If you're a high-scoring winger in puck or even on the blue line, it's nifty looking. You know, it's an arrow. It's the tip of the spear. It's cool looking. Baseball, of course, Mickey Mantle. And basketball, I think it's a nifty number for a point guard even actually for a heavy set center. That's kind of cool. I like it when defensive linemen in college football wear 7. It's quite slimming, I find. Mm-hmm.
Or when kickers wear like 99. That's always funny. But growing up, when I was watching football, obviously, like Michael Vick was a big thing. Like back when I was in middle school, high school. So I always see 7 and associate it with scrambling quarterbacks.
Well, I like it. I like to call Ben Roethlisberger 7 just because it gets under the skin of Broncos fans. How dare you call Roethlisberger 7? There's only one 7. Who, Mickey? Is that who? No, that's not who you're talking about. All right, let's start the show. Yes, once again, hi and hello, and welcome to the DDFP. And once again, we are presented by McDonald's All Day Breakfast. I could really go for some.
I don't
even
want
to think about it because it will only distract me. I do want to say, though, speaking of breakfast, I filled in, and great thanks to Rich Eisen, Chris Law, Chris Brockman, and everybody else at the Eisen Show. I filled in on Wednesday. He was off being a better Jew than I am because he was off for Yom Kippur. Mm. So I filled in there, talked to Eric Davis and Big Cat from Barstool Sports on the heels of a big win for his Cubs. So he was over the moon. Jonah Carey. Go dig that show up if you want to hear about
impressive
that.
Impressive stuff, Dave.
The thing that was impressive You're moving is up in it's the a way. Machine over there. They
right.
You walk in and everything on the desk is laid out for you. I mean, like, there. If you're watching us here, we appreciate you watching us here on NFL.com.
Is everything not laid out for you here? Look at that. I got your schedule, your
NFL
cards. Everything Dave has to read out is written.
Oh, wow.
It's typed up.
Wow.
Let me just say, NFL.com/DDFP, you can watch us. We appreciate you listening to us as well and subscribing on iTunes or Stitcher or beyond, or go to NFL.com/podcasts. All good ways to consume the show. In fact, the best way to do it, all of them. Just do all, like, go, just play it safe and listen and watch every which way.
What do you have to do?
That's right. That's exactly right. Yeah, you're biding time until football arrives on the weekend. But Eisen, so yeah, they have it all blocked off, MVP. I mean, every second of the show is laid out on pages all over the place. But the real treat was about a half hour, 45 minutes before the show, somebody came up to me and said, what would you like for breakfast? And I said, of course, can I get an Egg McMuffin? And they said, oh, we don't have that. But they had a chef or something nearby, and they cooked me up a breakfast sandwich.
Wow.
That is nice treatment.
That is terrific.
Nice. That is something we should
deliver to
that.
Me. MVP.
Special.
I'll have a hash brown and a McGriddle, if you please.
There's room in the corner back there, definitely for some kind of cooking apparatus.
Yeah. It'd be
at
nice.
Least a Foreman.
I'll work on
something.
That.
It'd be nice. That's all I'm saying. It was a nice treatment. Now I'm back here. You know, I feel a little bit like I'm.
Maybe we can replace Bartlett with an oven.
I don't want to say.
Well, there you
it's
go.
A sad day here on the DDFP for us because this is the way it works here at the NFL. Some people are part-time, and so they move on. I get that question from people. Why is Black Tie moving on? Or, well, actually, Black Tie got
He just left.
Yeah, he got a nice job up in San Francisco, so he did. But when we say goodbye to people, Emma VP's come in and come out, and you know, we said our farewells to her. Today, it's Kent Brown's turn.
Dave, I feel like this goes against your whole pet theory of it's best not to have a pet because they will eventually die.
Which
it's a little bit. It's still extraordinary, but
I don't like it. You're right.
It's a little bit similar to what happened. You know, you've in essence been given a bunch of goldfish, and every 7 months they pass
goldfish.
On. Well, I mean that's. I was trying to find something with the same lifespan of a 7 month.
I had a goldfish die the night I got it. So
yeah, me too.
We've all been there. My sister Amy had a goldfish, and one day she went into her room and when we were growing up and said, my goldfish is gone. And we said, what do you mean gone? It disappeared, and about a half hour later, after searching the room, we found it in a nearby game of Cat's Eye, is what it was called. There was an old game with marbles.
Why was it in there?
How did it get in there?
It jumped out of the bowl and into a box.
Why?
What do you mean? Why? I don't know. I know what
that?
A goldfish does.
Well, I thought you were a noted goldfish psychiatrist.
I know as much about what goldfish think about and care as much about what a goldfish thinks about as much as I care about what the producers behind the glass think about. You know?
It's just lucky they're not typing stuff out for you.
So far, they've been called goldfish. Checked
I'm
going to
call my next goldfish Kent Brown.
I like all you guys back there.
They're below the liners. Oh, before I say anything else, you know what was crazy? Let me show you this. If the camera can push in, I'm just thinking about this now. Here's a crazy little thing. And then, by the way, we're going to get to the Week 6 picks here momentarily. But if you can push in on this, Director JD, I want you to see this and see what everybody here in the studio looks here. The professor is directing us, and he is going to push in here. Look at what I saw. I was in my car. I was in the car last evening on my way home on the 405, and I felt something like, oh, what is that? And I went into my mouth, and I pulled out a shard of glass. Why is a shard of glass in my mouth? I have no idea how it got there.
Aren't you the one to answer that question?
Shouldn't you be asking other people? And also, shouldn't you be fasting? My theory on this is that Dave is supposed to be fasting and is eating glass instead of the food.
That's how I got by.
Is that scene in The Grinch?
This point, my
Jim
belly
Carrey one.
I got a lot of great tweets. I did tweet that out on Wednesday, and a lot of people had some funny theories, and maybe I'm like Jean-Claude Van Damme in Bloodsport training. Remember when he fought Tong Po? I don't know if that was Bloodsport or not, but either way, Tong Po, that was the most ridiculous fight thing in movie. Well, the most ridiculous thing in movie history is when Flash Gordon and Prince Baron have their fight to the death on Voltan's in his kingdom. Out on this floating circle in the sky, and it shoots spikes, and it moves up and down. And these two are – it's a limited space, smaller than Studio 66 probably. But amidst all these other things with spikes coming up and down out of the ground, and it's trying to throw you off the edge with its movement and everything else, the heart of the battle is it's two guys, and the only weapons they get, whips. A whip fight.
A whip fight.
There's no winner in a whip fight.
Right.
Speaking of no winners – Van Damme and Tong Po, do battle, and in one round, they go over to their respective corners. They dip their knuckles in glue. Then they dip them in shards of glass. Then they go fight each other. Who wins that? Not your face, but also not your hands.
Right? I have gotten exactly zero references that you dropped in the last 5 minutes here.
That's right. We're hipping now, Dave, for the people, Dave, who were 11 years old in 1983. Yes, handsome.
Ken Brown, about 20 minutes ago, stood up. He thought that he's been looking for an in now for 7 months on this show. This is his big moment to say goodbye, and you've talked over him for 15
minutes.
Well,
I want to say first, Kent Brown, gangbusters work. If you have enjoyed watching every Tuesday, Ike Taylor, Maurice Jones-Drew, and I do our Time Machine Football. Mm-hmm. We look ahead to Thursday Night Football's matchup by looking back at two teams' previous matchup, or one of their better matchups there. Kent Brown, all the work on that. A lot of research involved in it. He's been a gangbusters addition, and now he'll be a big loss for us here on the DDFP. And best of all, he's a Pittsburgh guy, so that's great. Kent Brown, your final thoughts.
Well, first of all, you guys talked goldfish earlier. The only pet I have ever had in my life was a goldfish named Goldie, passed away very quickly. Ugh. And so it brought back memories where it's like, this is a farewell. That was my only farewell to the pet I once had. So
a poignant remembrance for Goldie.
I think I pointed out before, but my favorite quarterback, the worst quarterback competition of all time, I believe, 1994, to follow Phil Sims, the New York Giants, Kent Graham and Dave Brown battled it out through the months of June, July, and August to see who could be the heir to Jeff Ostatler.
I still remember
Phil Sims.
I still remember the John Beck Rex Grossman pillow fight from Washington.
That was
bad. Pretty bad.
But this was actually worse. And so Kent Brown is obviously the combination of Kent Graham and Dave Brown.
Never thought of that.
Yikes.
And that's what I always think of, and we'll always think of.
Also, he started for the Steelers when I was young. Kent Graham was a Steeler for a brief time as well, and he wasn't that good, and I got a lot of crap for that in school for sure.
I also like to point out on occasion names that are weird for a baby to have, and Kent is right near the top
right
of the
list.
Oh, isn't he adorable? Look at that cute little guy. Oh, he's such a sweetie. What's his name? Kent.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Weird. Yeah.
There are some names that like are only specific for a certain time period of your life. I never thought about that way. That's a good,
well, and then of course point. The inverse is true too. Yeah, the inverse is also true. Like Toby the baby is cute, but you don't walk in for an interview, serious minded, button down. I want to be in the FBI. I grew up. I always wanted to be a Fed and take down the bad guys and keep our society safe. And it's nice to meet you. And what's your name? Toby. You know, like, all right, Toby.
You have to be careful, though, because I think one of the other ones is Ike. But don't tell Ike I think that.
And I was actually named after Kent Cigarettes, not the region where the Rolling Stones are from. I should tell people the Rolling Stones are from the Kent region in England. No, I was named after cigarettes.
Cigarettes, huh?
You were named after cigarettes.
Kent Cigarettes, yes.
I mean, exactly how obsessed was one or both of your parents that they would name you after cigarettes?
Well, in theory, okay, my dad's not a smoker. My mom was. She saw a guy on the billboard when she was driving down Route 30 in Pittsburgh, Route 30.
Yeah.
And she saw the guy there. She said, Kent's a good name. I like Kent. I like the guy on the billboard.
I want some cigarettes
to
now.
Name my son.
No joke. This is exactly how my family named our first dog. We were driving down the road and we saw a Dixie pawn shop. My dad's like, we're naming the dog Dixie. No. Not cigarettes, but I'm saying, Kent, you and my family's dog, they found names the same way.
I should tell people the Rolling Stone.
Yeah, I would stick with that
story. I would go with that.
I would stick with that one.
Wow, that's really quite a thing. Named after a cig. I love it.
How do you quit though after that? Like if you're trying to quit smoking and then every time they speak to you.
Doing it for my son.
That would be disrespectful to my little boy.
Or if I started smoking as a kid, I could have been like, "Well, you named me after them.
It's your
fault. Think they're that bad."
It's true.
Nothing better than blaming your parents for your problems.
All right, real quick here. We have a lot to get to, Kent. A quick quiz. He, among his many skills in life, he can tell you, or it seems like he can. Let's put him to the test here. Any celebrity or certainly athlete from the Pittsburgh area, he can tell you where that person went to school. Real quick, let's try it. LeVar Arrington.
North Hills.
What? I mean, like, I didn't even get the surname out before you.
Yeah, no kidding.
I think this would be fun to have some music going if you want to play it underneath there. But Ditka.
Ditka's Aliquippa.
That's right. Mo Damashek went to Hopewell right next door, but they grew up in the same neighborhood.
That's where Tony Dorsett went.
Tony, that's right. And Mo went to Hopewell, and but she grew up on the same in the same neighborhood as Ditka, and she was not allowed to play with Mike Ditka because he used to pull down girls' underpants on the monkey bars.
Now that is a good piece of trivia.
And it's Hopewell, Paul Posluszny, Hopewell grad.
That's right. And also we once asked that, or Jimmy Kimmel asked Mike Ditka about Mo Damashek's story at the time, Michelle Zubasic. In Aliquippa area, and he confirmed the veracity of her account.
All right.
There you go. Ken Griffey Jr., or Ken Griffey Sr., I should say.
Well, he's from Denora. It was Ringgold, whatever they want to call the high school at the point. He's from Denora, same town where Stan Musial's from, and this is a funny stat. Ken Griffey Jr. and Stan Musial born on the same day, and so Ken Griffey Jr., he grew up saying, I'm not the best baseball player born in Denora, PA, on my date. It's Stan Musial.
You're a weird dude, Kent Brown.
I was going to say, this is...
Let's go. Marino. Yeah,
Central Catholic.
Everyone knows.
Montana.
Also Ringgold, Monongahela, the same area where Ken Griffey's from.
Namath.
Namath is Beaver Falls.
Unitas.
St. Justin's, the same high school that my grandfather went
really
to.
It really is weird.
My grandfather went to St. Justin's with Johnny Unitas' older brother.
Walton.
I don't know.
No.
Neither do I. I don't have the that's the secret that we didn't tell Kent. We have no idea what the answers are.
Could have been making all that up. Well, no idea.
Darrell Revis.
Aliquippa.
Of course. Mercury Morris. I didn't know he was a Pittsburgh guy.
I'd have to say I know he's from Pittsburgh. I don't know exactly, but I'm gonna guess Westinghouse.
Yes.
Sounds right
to me. Correct.
You're right. Good. Well done, Jim Kelly.
Jim Kelly's from, well, he's not technically from Pittsburgh. He's from like a little bit outside of the.
Is that outside of your range of
outside
knowledge?
Pittsburgh.
Yeah, he's a Western PA guy. I can't tell you the exact high school.
Outside Pittsburgh High.
Terrell Pryor.
I played against him in high school football and basketball, Jeanette High School.
Did you tackle him?
No. And then but we did beat him. We were the last team to beat him on his way.
You beat Terrell Pryor? How's that possible?
How's this never come up?
If you, I always say that. I mean, if you played against,
not in basketball,
you know, but if you know who, you Le'Veon Bell or whatever. If you played against him, didn't he score every time he touched the ball? Derrick right. Henry, didn't he run? Who? What 16-year-old kid was going to wrap up Derrick Henry and take him down? Real quick, Wiz Khalifa.
Wiz Khalifa's Taylor Alderdice.
Mark Cuban.
Mark Cuban. He's Mount Lebo.
Andy Warhol.
Andy Warhol, I mean, I know he went to the same church a lot of my ancestors went because they're all Slovak, that they come over on the north side because we're Slovak Americans. High school-wise, though, I'm going to say he went to – what's the one in Oakland that's no longer there? Carrick? Or no, that's not Carrick.
Brashear?
Sounds right. Sounds correct.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. No, you got it right.
Nailed okay. it.
And Kent Brown. Where did Kent Brown go to high school?
East Allegheny Wildcats and then Woodland Hills, kind of both of those schools growing up both.
All right. The great Kent Brown, everybody. Thanks for all the work, pal.
Just to recap, we learned he's named after cigarettes. We learned he's got that amazing talent. He's wearing a shirt that says Kent, literally. I mean, you should write a book.
It's true. I think you have my.
That's all you need.
Many have written books with far less fascinating anecdotes. Great stuff, Kent Brown. We look forward to you rejoining us here as soon as you possibly can. We're better for your presence here. All right, let's get to it now. We have some games to get to, and I'm sorry that was fascinating to me. So I could have just kept it to three or four.
That was worthwhile.
Yeah, to me it was. We do
it. Hey, who's back?
We do it every Thursday. Wait a second. Cynthia Freeland, late breaking news. She's coming in here just in time.
Look at that.
Just in time to get to two of our Thursday items that we do every week. Things you're watching on TV this weekend. Handsome Hank, I start with you.
I'm going to start with the Alabama-Tennessee game.
I think that's going to be a blowout.
Probably will.
Bam.
But I like to watch a football game on a Saturday.
You're right. Fair enough.
And then the second thing is Dave, your Steelers and my Miami Dolphins playing on Sunday, which will be a blowout.
Oh, well, we'll get to that. I don't know. We'll talk about it.
I know, because every week you sit here and you say, no, I think the other team's going to win and beat the Steelers.
But this
you have to do that.
This is a classic Steelers letdown game.
This
though.
Is exactly.
You know, and I know you know it, too.
It's tough to get let
this
down.
This is what Mike Tomlin, for a decade now, when they play teams on the road – that have winning percentages around 250. These are inexplicably the games
that they
lose.
That may be true, but this is not possible this week. This is a horrible mismatch. We'll get into it.
Harmon, how say you?
Well, you know, last time I was on the show, I mentioned that Alex and I are rewatching How I Met Your Mother. We're still doing that, much to your chagrin.
His roommate,
for whatever
Alex
reason.
Galhar, fantasy.
Why that?
I told you last time I was here, and it's still for the same reason, because, for one, it's an easy show to just watch, and, like, we've already seen it 1,000 times, so you don't have to, like, pay attention. You can do work while it's on. You can pay attention to the dog, which he's very demanding, of course. So you can do other stuff while you're watching it, and it's an emotionally charged show that, you know, was really good at one point, but then eventually is going to break your heart at the end, and I think that's a good metaphor for life, that eventually all things will go terrible.
Well, first of all, I disagree with the contention that it's emotionally charged. The problem with me with How I Met Your Mother was always, it was better written than some snoots would like to give it credit for being, but the lead in it, Ted, is annoying.
He's insufferable. But
yes, well, so then how can you get through that?
How can you binge watch it?
I don't know. I am so, but because it's a good, like, there are so many times in that series where you get to, like, you really feel something. And, like, the show makes you feel things. And
you
sometimes
only have so much time on the Big Blue Marble, and you're wasting time rewatching a mediocre sitcom. Cheers is out there. Why don't you
I've
go
never
back
seen
and
Cheers. We've already discussed this.
Right.
But now you can't.
That's the
start.
Right.
Because I don't really have the time and attention to dedicate to a show that I have not seen before yet.
I'm sorry you don't like I'm better written and better performed shows.
I didn't say I didn't like it. I just said that there's a reason for it. I don't have to pay that much attention
all right,
to while it's
so
on.
So that's one of your viewings.
And then for football things, I'm going to be watching NFL football. I get paid to do that. Humble brag alert. But I think that one thing I've been watching, paying attention to, is this theme of 2016 to me. Is the redemption of these wayward soul running backs. You know, Kristen Michael, Terrence West, Spencer Ware, Isaiah Crowell. Mm. I'm going to be watching a lot of those guys this weekend, especially like Kristen Michael, I think, has got a great matchup coming up. Terrence West basically got Mark Trestman canned because he didn't give him the ball in the second half. I'm big on Terrence West. I'm big on Spencer Ware, all these guys. So I'm going to watch the continuation of my theme of 2016.
New broom sweeps clean with the new OC in Baltimore. One, I don't know how to gauge. Is there any evidence that a quarterback or an offense performs better in that first week? We saw Buffalo kind of turn it around when Anthony Lynn moved on. I don't know what to think about Flacco, but I wonder if they will now focus on, people have been calling for this since he was drafted, Kenneth Dixon. I wonder if he now emerges.
He didn't look good at all, though, last week. I mean, which to be expected. Like, he's a fourth round. That was what was so obnoxious on Twitter about Kenneth Dixon, was like basically already going into the Hall of Fame per everybody tweeting at me. So it was just, I think he's just not ready to be a full-time player yet. Maybe someday, but Terrence West has looked good. He's a power running back. He's sustaining. And I think you're right that anecdotally, it does seem that teams turn it around in that first week, mm-hmm. or at least are energized by a coaching change.
Cynthia Freeland, back with us now in Studio 66. Jump on in, sis. What are you going to be looking at this weekend? Football or beyond?
So we're going Cubs first. I'm sure you maybe already brought that up due to the picture.
We have not talked about it.
Okay. So I'm going to be watching whoever the Cubs take on Saturday. I mean, I'm actually technically a Tigers fan, but I did spend a lot of time in Chicago. And since they're not in the same division, I kind of adopted. I mean, Wrigley is so much fun. If you've never been there, you have
to
go.
I said the same thing to Big Cat. I've said it before on when talking to Barstool, Big Cat from Barstool. Three of or so of my 20 or so greatest days on the planet Earth involved Wrigley Field experiences and the surrounding area. Of course, if you experience it a few times, you can't help but root for the Cubs a little
bit. You can't. And it's like, it's just the best place. And you can watch on the roof decks and you can look over, and it's awesome. I've actually even done like the 9-9. Have you done that?
The what?
You eat like a hot dog and you have a beer in each inning.
No, whoa.
One hot dog per inning? I mean, beer. Like, that can happen. But
the beer was harder for me.
I mean, the beer is easy, but the hot dog, wow.
Luckily, we kind of cheated with, like, smaller hot dogs. But But yeah, so it's,
that is not going to be a next, a good next day. Right. That is not going to be a good morning.
If you just listened to me, you would think I was like 350 pounds, but I did it.
No. You're 240 at most, I would say.
Yep.
I've said this before, although I have heard that it is much improved, especially out in the bleachers. But the weird, sad irony of Wrigley Field, it's such a glorious place, but Dodger Stadium has better food than Wrigley Field. You would think a Dodger Stadium would have crummy, like just sushi or something, but in fact they have good victuals. But Wrigley has typically not had good food, but I do hear I hear they have a great new wiener stand out in the bleachers. That's wonderful. So okay, Cubs.
The other thing I want to, I'm actually kind of interested in this Kansas City at Oakland game. Mm-hmm. I want to see if Alex Smith, who's Alex Smith? I feel like every year we kind of question, like, what's going on? Is he going to get it to Jeremy Mathis? What is going on here? I think if there's any game where we get a chance to see what they've got, this is the one. Jamaal Charles is back. Spencer Ware, like you talked about, and I think that can. I mean, Oakland gives up it's one of a few teams to give up over 1,000 yards in the air so far this season. I think that's
1,600 yards leads the NFL.
Yeah,
1,600.
Correct.
Sheesh,
so,
it's a lot.
It is a lot.
Quite a bit.
Lucky they didn't Freeland spend all that
took,
money on
Smith. I was going to say.
Freeland took one of my answers. KC Oakland, I've said it many times before. I will say it again now. This is not one of. It is the best uniform matchup available in the NFL when the Chiefs travel, especially when they wear the red pantaloons and against the silver and black. You will not see a more aesthetically pleasing ball game, especially when that California sun is over there, golden hour and all that.
I would
everything
agree with
looks
you,
better
but,
in the California.
Tonight,
it's true.
The Thursday night game this week, the Chargers color rush.
Oh, that's going to be
absolutely
good.
Absolutely beautiful.
Very nice. Very nice. Yes.
I even color rushed myself today.
You did. You're all blue.
In honor of the Chargers.
What is that, like a periwinkle? Is that what you would call
that's
that?
That's definitely not a periwinkle. It's like a slate blue.
And yeah. I'm also going with, I'm going to watch all the football games, obviously, on Saturday and Sunday, or as many as I can consume.
Yep.
But I'm going to also throw in a vote for Westworld.
Yes.
Been watching?
Yeah, it's fun.
I like it.
What is that?
It's
I
kind of
seen
out there. Of course, you're too busy with
How I Met Your Mother. I've actually never watched How I Met Your Mother, so.
Oh, come on. It's a good show.
Cynthia, take my word for it.
You're fine.
Well,
you'll
the thing
okay.
is, it's a good show, but it is going to hurt you in the end.
Nah.
I mean, I say I've watched 20
minutes. Why would I
want to
do that then?
I didn't know it was coming, but I'm just saying.
Trust me. Marginal emotional damage. Disagree. I've sitting through that mess.
Disagree.
All right. But you will hear Bob Saget doing the VO.
Which is pretty great.
That's weird.
Except now that I've seen him do his comedy in real life, I can't can't unhear that. And it's now I'm just like, you're not getting the best Bob Saget. You're getting like watered down PG. No
but
fun.
This is a little bit better than Full House Bob Saget.
Oh, he's quite filthy. Emma VP hilarious. Behind the glass. You want us to skip dad jokes, eh?
Yeah, I think we should get right down to the picks.
All right, but we have a bounty of them. You don't want to honor any all the listeners out there who submitted their own dad jokes. We appreciate you doing so. Hashtag.
We do appreciate it, but we've been talking so much nonsense that I think we got to get down to the picks.
Okay, so
she might be right.
Okay, executive decision then by Emma VP behind the glass. I appreciate it, but do keep the dad jokes coming.
Yeah,
hashtag.
Please do.
I love dad jokes.
Dad
Please.
Jokes. We have. We really did. You guys outdid yourselves by submitting them there, and it will buy everybody here in Studio 66 another 7 days to conjure their best dad jokes. Did you have one ready to go?
I have
answer?
A new one that I made up.
Did you?
Yep.
I can't help it, Emma V. You know what? Let's start the red challenge flag segment, and then we'll mix in handsome somewhere along
it's
the way.
It's there. It's Perfect. Ready to go.
All right, Cynthia, you're not expected to sing because this is your first go around here. Everybody else, though. Get ready. Here we go. Red Challenge flag picks for week 6.
Red Challenge flag picks.
Yeah.
I was taken aback the first time I had to do it, too.
We harmonized there. I feel like we Matt harmonized.
Oh, I've never heard that one before.
Well, sorry.
That was very nice.
Shaq, I think we should give Cynthia a chance there to sing along.
You got
to
do it. You made me do it the first time I came on the show.
You're right. You're right. Set it up properly for her, and let's have her do it.
Well, by herself.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Well, in fact, she didn't even need the instrumental.
I literally had.
Go ahead, Cynthia. Ready? 3, 2, 1, go.
No, you have to do it with me. Red challenge flag.
Oh. Right, try it again. Listen, again. I'm sorry,
you're
Emma
have to keep
VP.
Doing it until
How can we get to the
get
pick
it right.
if she's not going to participate properly? Ready?
You have to do it with me.
Ready? Okay, well, I'll do it with you. Right. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Here we go.
Red challenge flag picks.
All right. Harmon, you were there for Cynthia.
Thank goodness.
I'm here for you.
That was nice.
Thank you.
Very nice. Before we jump into week six,
we have to
look back quickly. Handsome Hank had a banner week five. Do we have anything to honor his deeds there, or should Handsome just –
No, it's fine. Emma's prepared a graphic for me.
Oh, she has prepared a graphic.
We've discussed it at length.
Look at what Handsome did here. Handsome highlights indeed 4-1 in the Red Challenge picks last week, 13-6 leading the way over me and Matt Money Smith and everybody else who's joining us for the picks here. You said Vic Beasley, and he was dominant. He showed up on almost every defensive snap for the Falcons in that big win a mile high. You said the Falcons looked good. You said the Cowboys would upset the Bengals. Football Baby had your back. I did not. You also even said Jesse James with a big game, and he had a big game. My Red Challenge flag picks, quite sad.
Thank you for doing this totally unprompted, Dave. I appreciate that.
Well, listen, you know what? I'm about honoring success. Yeah, 9-14
for me. He has a great record.
Yeah, he's crushing it, huh?
That's in the rearview mirror, though. Let's look forward together, shall we? And let's start it off with my quick picks. Is that what you want to do?
Quick picks.
Philadelphia against D.C., a fascinating game that we mentioned already. By the narrowest of margins
real
in my
quick,
brain.
Real quick.
Well, that hurts my feelings.
Real quick.
It's a cute picture of you, though.
It is a good picture of you.
Thank you. Yeah, yeah. I'm going to take the Eagles, but boy, oh boy. I don't know. This division, like we said at the top of the show, you can make a case for each of the four teams, but I'll take the Eagles here. Harmon, how say you?
This was the hardest one for me to pick, but I eventually went with Washington here.
Handsome?
Yeah, I went with Washington, too.
Cynthia?
Eagles.
Eagles, okay. Next up, Falcons at the Seahawks. The Falcons decided to stay on the West Coast rather than travel back to Atlanta after Denver and then travel back across the country. Probably a sound move. I wonder how many teams have done this and what sort of success they've had as a result. Who do you have handsome in this one?
I have the Seahawks winning it.
Cynthia.
Same. Seahawks.
Easiest game to pick for me, Seahawks.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm with you guys too. Seahawks, Cowboys, Packers, so many great showdowns between these two teams over the years. Cynthia, how say you?
I back the pack.
Harmon.
I'm just going to say Cowboys.
Yeah, Dallas is going to win this one.
Well, if she's doing it like a cheesehead, then you guys should say it like a Cowboys wonk.
Dallas.
Cowboys.
Big D.
There you go.
America's team. But I'm with Freeland. I'm going with the Packers on this
you
one.
You should have said it like that.
You're right. Golly. Well, I can't do it. I don't know why. I lived there for your hard A.
I back the pack.
Go
pack, go.
That's a dangerous place for me to go with my already hideous voice and accent. When I was in Chicago for a decade and that started to insinuate itself into the accent, it really got atrocious.
Chicago.
It took a little bit of time to wean myself. little sound. So Chicago. Now I'm back to, dude, you from Pittsburgh. Yeah, dude, Ken Bryan's from Pittsburgh. All right, let's get to it. Speaking of Pittsburgh, they're not in Pittsburgh this week, the Steelers. They're down in South Beach. And Cynthia Freeland, I give you the honor of starting it off with the Red Challenge flag. We should explain the rules. How are we going to work this, Emma VP? How do we want to do this week with three people?
Same as usual, just flags will throw everywhere.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll start with one person, and then the other two will have the option. Here's what we do, Cynthia. I'm going to ask you who's going to win a game. You just say who you think's going
to
win.
Okay.
Then we'll discuss it.
The points.
No. Then we'll discuss it. We'll debate it, and then we'll see if anybody wants to throw the Red Challenge flag after we've sussed out what's going to be with this game. All right, here we go. Red Challenge flag pick starting off. Steelers at the Dolphins. Cynthia Freeland. Who you got?
Steelers.
All right, let's discuss this now, everybody. The Steelers traveling down to Miami. Adam Gase,
I love Adam Gase, but I still pick the Steelers.
I do too. I buy just based on the evidence of all his stops along the way. Although the media nationally is now mounting against Ryan Tannehill. There's enough evidence here that he's just not going to be fixed as a NFL QB. Harmon, your thoughts?
I mean, I'm pretty tempted to say that there could be an upset here just because of the Steelers' history. Like we said, they
Mike Tomlin, I'll say it again. When he plays teams on the road, when his Steelers go on the road and play teams with winning percentages around 250, they inexplicably seem to lose. That is a legitimate storyline.
How many times has that happened?
It's happened this year already with the Eagles. I mean, they should.
The Eagles' defense is legit.
The Eagles are a good team, but they were still like they still won 34-3 or something like that.
They've lost at Oakland a few times in the 21st century.
Yes.
Bum Raiders teams that they could, you know, Terrell Pryor. If you might remember that 90-yard run that he had,
93 yards still holds the NFL record.
They lost at the Chiefs last year. They lost to the Chiefs another time when the Chiefs were down. They barely got past the Tyler Palco Chiefs a few years ago. I think.
Funnily enough,
I remember. Maybe you're just a little scarred by it?
No.
No, because I'm telling you, it's a legit thing. And they are just, statistically, they score way more points at home than they do on the road. I think 31 points per game at home and 22 on the road. So, I mean, there's that, but the Dolphins are just so bad, especially in the secondary where the Steelers happen to be very good at throwing the ball.
I know, but they got humiliated. The Titans rolling in there and beating them, that's a pretty dark place. You have to rise up or your season's just
I don't know.
Do you think that their season already isn't in?
Right.
Yeah.
Like, bad?
Yeah. I mean, they don't have any good players.
I love talking with guys like Ike Taylor and Maurice Jones-Drew about that. What happens when you're in mid-October and you realize – wow, I mean, our season is finished. We have no chance of the playoffs. Where do you go from there? How do you get yourself mentally right for that as an individual and as a team? It's easier to do as an individual because you have money on the line, but collectively, this is a tough spot to be in if you're the Dolphins, and maybe Gase can rally them and say, have some dignity, fellas.
Or I think that's the best that they can do at this point because they will get beaten. It's just how much they get beaten by.
Mm. All right. Anybody, with all that said, anybody want to throw the red challenge flag here? Everybody's going Steelers?
No, can't do it.
All right. I'm going to go Steelers, too. All right. Next up, Cincinnati Bengals, New England Patriots. If you haven't heard the news, Tom Brady back after missing four games for, I don't know what he was up to, but anyway, he's here now.
He
was on vacation.
Yeah, he was definitely on some vacation.
Had a big game against Cleveland, of course, in fantasy, and otherwise those points only count for half when you're playing against the Browns. Now they have a more legitimate foe from the same state of Ohio, and as it happens, and as Damashek foretold in the preseason, these Bengals were going to fall back a little bit without Hugh Jackson, without a viable number two, although Tyler Boyd, I do think, is going to get better and better, but no Tyler Eifert out there and so on. Now they're 2-3, and they're going to Foxborough. Harmon, choose.
I am going to go with New England. I mean, I think Cincinnati. Oh, right. I forgot the rules.
Given, now let's discuss it, and we'll figure it out, and then we'll see if somebody wants to throw the red challenge flag at it.
I'm going to go with New England as well by a decent amount, but I do think the good thing about New England being up and presumably for a good deal of the game is I think that'll mean a lot of points for A.J. Green because Andy Dalton and A.J. Green have had a great connection on deep passes. I think the game script flows out that New England will go up big. Hude is going to have to throw from behind. I think A.J. Green has a good day. I'm trying to find something positive for people from the Midwest.
No shot for the Bengals. Neither one of you.
Well, I think your argument that you made for the Dolphins is actually more applicable here. The Bengals are coming off a pretty embarrassing loss in Dallas. I would say that they probably have more of a bounce-back game of like, hey, let's not get humiliated 2 weeks in a row. I don't think that they win the game, but I think they have a better shot than the team you
previously mentioned. Well, they actually have good
players. Exactly. They have good players who could do it.
And well, it's
Vontaze Burfict is back, so that's good.
Funny coincidence that we're on to that the famous on to Cincinnati. Mm. Cincinnati, probably the Patriots are going to be on.
That may be
the
hungry
Bengals.
For Skyline Chili. I know what the game
I is don't like the Skyline Chili. I don't get that's like one of the worst local for a town to be famous for a certain food item. I think that is near the bottom. Down there with toasted ravioli in
good.
St. Louis.
I like it.
Skyline.
I like chili. I just think it's like I don't like tons of like real spicy things. So sometimes like real spicy buffalo wings or stuff can be like make me cry. So for me, I like the Skyline Chili.
That's exactly what it is. It's just tepid, watered down.
I also liked how much they liked it there. People were like, you have to try it. This is so exciting. I'm like, okay.
See, Norrell, I'm the other way. I like to tell people that thing that you like is actually bad. So.
I resent the people of Cincinnati for telling me that in my limited time here in your city, that's what I have to go and eat. There's
that is pretty
be
disappointing when you get let down when everybody hypes something up and you're like, well, this was what I came here for.
Oh, I can't wait for all the tweets about Primanti sandwiches.
Primanti Brothers is good.
Yeah, it is very good.
It's great. I love Primanti
Brothers.
Thank
you. See, we went from good to great in the span of
a You can order them. I'll order them for you for Christmas out here. You can get them out here.
I did know that. In fact, they're expanding across Football America.
So all
right. We got sidetracked. Vontaze Burfict is back. The defense is much better. The team is better with him out there. I think a little bit too much has been made about his maturity level. I mean, we see him for 60 minutes, and what a transformation as an individual he is. Either way, I do think the Bengals really need this one. I just happen to think that Tom Brady is on a mission this year, and practically speaking, as we've talked about a great deal here, there's just no matchup for what they can do with Bennett and Gronk. There's no NFL team constructed with personnel when they see a certain when they throw pass personnel in there on defense, and they're going to run the ball at you and vice versa. And I don't know what the answer is to that. I think
the answer is Josh McDaniels gets another chance coaching somewhere next year.
Completely agree with you about that. So
he may not be able to take those.
I think he's
going to
be Indianapolis.
Red challenge flag segment. I like that. Red challenge. anybody want to throw the challenge flag here? All Patriots. All right. Next up. Here it is. It's the game Cynthia Freeland says she's most excited to watch in week 6. It's the Chiefs. It's the Raiders. It's an AFL dandy. Red pants at the silver and black. Handsome Hank, choose.
I am picking the Raiders for this game.
All right. What do we think about this? A classic, and we'll see more of this in the AFC West as the season wears on here. Even better. Unstoppable object and unstoppable force. How's that go?
Sure.
Science
yeah.
lady? I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually agree.
Unstoppable
with you.
Force and movable object.
Yeah.
Both
Broncos defense, Raiders offense, and flip those things upside down. That's going to be fun. But this is sort of a similar thing, although I do think Jamal Charles, you know, I'm waiting for his breakout here, a little delayed because of the comeback from the knee injury. Harmon, how say you?
I'm going to actually go with the Chiefs. So
I like it.
I'm going Raiders in a close one. I just think that what we've seen out of that offense overcoming the deficiency in their defense, they've had to keep scoring points over and over again. They've done it from Michael Crabtree corrected the drops he had last season. Now Amari Cooper seems to be getting more involved. They're making their running back group work, even though it's not fun for fantasy. It's working for them, right? So for me, I think it's a close one. The home team takes it.
What is the score on this defense? It seems like they really had, you know, I know Carl Joseph, a new piece on the back end there, but that can't be that big a deal. I mean, maybe he'll improve as the season wears on. But
I liked Carl Joseph when I watched his tape in college. I thought he was
hitter.
Really good.
I love him. Yeah, he's one of the
an enforcer.
Yeah, but I mean, overall, they have some nice pieces on defense. Why is it so crummy? Any thoughts?
Sometimes it just takes something to gel. And I also think that the way that those corners are constructed, they're both big physical press corners. And I think we've seen the smaller receivers like Willie Snead, guys that can get off the jam well, fast guys like Brandon Cooks get over on those bigger corners. So I think maybe there's like too much of one thing in the secondary, but also like Khalil Mack's a great player, but he's not like Von Miller, like
Ooh,
a pass
be careful
rusher.
With that.
I know people get really offended.
Really like him.
I love.
He's had a slow start.
I think he's a great player too, but I just think that he's more of like a complete package than like an elite sack pressure guy.
Or at least he hasn't been this season.
He hasn't been this season.
Because he was at times last
year. He also collected like 5 of his sacks, I think, in one game last year.
I will say, Cynthia, it is interesting. When you go in on this, I think the overarching opinion of football fans is Khalil Mack, one of the 3 or 5 best defensive players in the league. But there are a lot of guys who you can talk to in these hallways who say, Khalil Mack is very good, but he's not as good as he's sort of hyped up to be.
It's a lot easier to be good when you have DeMarcus Ware on the other side, when you have all of the pieces that Denver brought. I am in no way diminishing what Von Miller has done. He is absolutely elite, and he's worth every penny that they paid him. Let me just be clear on that. But what I am saying is, when you're one piece of a better, like a really amazing collective unit, like, so you've seen it now in Houston with J.J. Watt out, they haven't performed as well on defense as they have with J.J. Watt in, even though they have the same other people surrounding cast, right? And on it, the same thing kind of in Oakland. They need to get a few more pieces for some balance to really see what Khalil Mack is made of.
Bruce Irvin was supposed to be that guy this year. So
Mario Edwards, another like second-year player they were counting on, has not played yet. So
right. So to me, they have to get a few more of those pieces in place so that you can get the balance that Denver enjoys. We're watching a really balanced – I mean, where are they deficient in defense?
Coverage linebacker.
Where are
Tevin
they?
Coleman
that.
Showed that last
okay,
week.
Okay, but
– no, but to your –
you
correct.
Know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, where is their, like, hole? So to me, that all of the stats get boosted when they work
Where is their hole? Yeah, now, oh, no, see, I'm still playing the DeMarcus. Hey,
hate puns.
Hey, you hate – I mean, what do you love besides How I Met Your Mother?
Your puppy.
I love my dog, yeah.
Yep. Do you know he doesn't drink beer this year?
Just for this month. I think it's ridiculous.
We've discussed this.
Armin doesn't drink
beer.
But
he does drink booze. It's fine. It's not, he's
right.
not,
it's
he's
not like
not really
an alcohol thing. It's like a self-test, like, can I not drink beer?
Yeah.
I don't.
Got it. And I'm passing. I'm not having fun with it, though, but I am
passing. I don't care for that choice. That's a weird
You're almost halfway.
Very weird to do.
Doesn't feel that way.
All right. So, Handsome, where did we start out with your pick?
I started out and I said the Raiders. He's going to throw
the Who's
going to
throw the red challenge flag at Handsome? I'm going Chiefs, so I throw the red challenge flag as well at him. I like the Chiefs in this one. I think Andy Reid rights the ship. He has a great record coming off the bye. I think that's something to not-so-secret stat to take a look at. Mm-hmm. All right. Ravens remade, perhaps. Who knows? They still have Joe Flacco as their quarterback. And I've been saying this quite a bit over the last couple of weeks. Bucky Brooks here of NFL Media will support me on this. The notion, and you see the Ravens fall into this trap. Somehow they get amnesia every season or two. Maybe Joe Flacco can carry this offense. And then they get a few games or halfway through the season, and they realize, oh, yeah, he's not that good consistently.
There's a lot of guys who aren't consistently that good and that don't have rings. Or a ring.
Listen,
right?
I know he had the glorious four-game stretch there, and he's always nails in Heinz Field, and yet he just doesn't show up week after week, season after season. All right, Cynthia.
You can think of other guys with a ring that also could be said of, too.
Probably in this game.
Actually, probably in the same
game. Yeah, exactly. This is I didn't realize. This is the Elite Bowl. This is it. This is elite-itude on display for you. If you like your QBs elite, this is the matchup for you. Cynthia Freeland.
You ready for this?
The Ravens. The Giants.
Upset. Choose. Ravens by a smidge.
Is that an upset?
Ooh,
officially?
I don't know.
Home team typically is, when in a close True. When a home team typically gets
right.
the edge.
The
so
nod.
To me,
right.
since they're not the home
if it's
team.
A coin flip, then you would say the Giants are the if on a neutral field, you would say the Giants are then the favorite because they get to play in Jersey in this
yep.
one. Handsome, what do you think?
I actually disagree. I'm going to say that the Giants are the home team, and they are slightly will win by a smidge as well.
I think the thing that I keep waiting for, I think a lot of people anticipated, and the transition from Coughlin to McAdoo. The reason that they had to move on from Coughlin, and there's a lot made about why didn't Coughlin discipline Odell Beckham in the Panthers game against Josh Norman or whatever else, and things started to spiral downward from there. But, they couldn't lose McAdoo was the real issue there. They had to retain him because it appeared he had fixed Eli Manning to some degree. Mm. And when you talk about Victor Cruz, Sterling Shepard, and Odell Beckham, well, of course, that offense has to succeed, and yet here we are still waiting for the breakout.
But without a running back.
Right.
Which has always been, the thing that Eli has needed when he's been at his best. He's had a decent running game, and there just isn't one there right now at all.
And it's a different skill set to be a head coach and an offensive
right.
coordinator. Like, we always overlook that. We'd look at the hottest offensive coordinator or the hottest defensive coordinator, and you think, oh, they're just going to be the next head coach, but it's completely different skills.
Yeah, well, absolutely true, and it works both ways. I don't think Herman Edwards would be much of a coordinator
right.
or a position coach, but, that overarching head man, the swagger.
He's really fun to listen to talk.
Yeah, walking into the position rooms, but I when you watched him on that Chiefs Hard Knocks, it always struck me, like, well, how good could this team be with this guy running the show?
Right.
He doesn't seem to know anything that's going on with any given situation on his own team. And then you see guys like Mike Munchak, who has transformed the Steelers offensive line, but just seemed to not be able to hack it as the head man. Wade Phillips, I guess you could throw out there. There are a number of examples at it around the league. Jim Schwartz, maybe, although he might get a
he might get another look.
Yeah,
I don't like him.
Oh,
he's
true.
Really, really good at being a defensive coordinator, but he really broke my heart in Detroit.
All right, so what do we say here? Cynthia Freeland predicts the Ravens in an upset. Anyone want to throw the red challenge flag here?
Do it.
I'm throwing. I'm on Giants.
Everyone. I got it. What a laundry.
Wow, that was a sweep. You got pummeled in red flags.
All right, that's okay, because when we put up the graphic next week, then I'll go up on everyone.
I just think that this is a good matchup for Eli. If he's going to turn this thing around, this is a good matchup.
You think that's the matchup?
I think like
– T-Sizzle?
I don't know.
You think so?
T-Sizzle's old and has one leg.
This was one of those games that I picked, and I was like, I don't really have a good reason for picking the Giants other than I think like Odell has to get going at some point. Exactly. Yeah, like they're due. Yeah, like that, which is so stupid to be like, well, they're due, but I really do feel like they are due. You know, they don't, their defense is kind of crumbling. They can't protect the passer. Eli's not playing well. They can't run the ball, but it's like, I think they got to get off the schneid at some point. I think this is the week.
I know that there's no science to that, but I completely agree with that line.
Perfect.
Odell Beckham can't be mediocre for an entire season.
And the flip side is that the defense at some point has to be able to get pressure on a quarterback. I mean, with all the money that they've spent there.
The one guy who does show up, the one thing you do see is JPP. You know, when you watch the Giants play, he is more often than not dominating the line.
Their biggest problem is they don't have any depth. Like, they are not rotating those guys in
and out.
Well,
they've been hurt,
right?
Because
they
haven't
had injuries.
I mean, they played last week, but Eli Apple and Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie didn't play, like, two games or something.
I believe it was a couple games or
something.
Two
flawed teams on display in New Jersey for you there. Collectively, we say the Giants will get past the Ravens, but Freeland's picking the upset. Lastly, speaking of flawed teams, it's the Jaguars. Mm. It's the Bears. Not a mile high in the Windy City is where they're going to play this game.
Soldier Field.
Matt Harmon, choose.
I'm taking Jags.
All right, what do we think about that pick there?
I get Blake this Bortles. Ready.
Well, Blake Bortles had a pretty good game. Damashek foretold that he would over across the sea. Handsome Hank was there in person to see this.
Ooh.
Handsome, any insight that you picked up from these Jaguars?
And
I know you delighted being with your countrymen where they all say it properly.
Jaguars.
Jaguars. But it has gotten a little, as I've pointed out too, the English have gotten a little bit smarmy with the, it's Jaguars. Mm. It's the Jaguars. Everybody knows that. But now when you hear English people say it, they really over-enunciate. Now it's just turned into this weird sound like Jaguars.
Yeah, but it's a
very simple.
You Americans don't know how to say our word. It's Jaguars. That's how you say it.
Yeah, that's right.
Always good when we get into the intercontinental heat.
Right,
that's right. I mean, so like, I actually grew up in Europe, and I had English teachers, so I came back with a little bit of a British accent when I moved back to Michigan. Mm. So I feel like we have a little bit of a bond here.
I could still hear it.
When a team wins a big game and little pieces of paper falls down. No,
brilliant.
But the little pieces of paper fall down from the sky in celebration. What do you call that? Those pieces of paper?
Confetti.
How does Handsome say it?
Confetti.
Confetti. It's my favorite of all his words.
It is. Dave pulled that one out pretty early.
Ask him about like those packs people wear in America. What they're called?
What are those called?
Bum bags.
Yeah, because that.
Never heard that before. Yep,
because the what we call is not
that
nice
is,
word
that means
in
something
England.
Different.
Very different.
Bum bag.
The F word.
Yes.
Oh.
I've never heard.
This is new to me too. Yeah.
Dropping knowledge right here.
No kidding.
My favorite word for all English people to say is strawberry.
I thought it was war.
I like war. Well, that
war is intense.
War strawberry. Is war. There is not an English TV show or movie in which that is not a subject. Mm-hmm. And don't play it, war boy.
Wow, you're pretty good at that.
Thank you. All right, let's
a lot of practice.
Any insight here?
What are we talking about?
Well, the guy legitimately. We're talking about the Jags and Bears. What else do you think we're talking about?
Such a professional.
We're talking about the Jaguars and the Bears. And I think Chris Ivory is about due here. What do we think about that?
Hmm.
No,
due.
I don't know. I mean, in that game, actually, in London, T.J. Yeldon looked
he did have a little breakout.
Good enough to that. Chris Ivory wasn't needed.
It was against the
Colts,
though.
I have Yeldon with a better projection than Ivory.
Do you? Okay. Mm-hmm. What about the passing game? Is Bortles, are we thinking against this Bears defense, he has a shot here?
Well, yes.
I think they're so undermanned in the secondary. They have injuries. They don't really get a ton of pressure on the quarterback either, that I think this is a good game for him. He's been much better statistically out of the pocket than he has been inside the pocket, so I could see them getting him on the move a little bit. And
I don't know.
I mean, they could try. It would be nice. And, you know, they got Allen Robinson, who's the greatest player ever. So
that is your the object of your affection. Cynthia, John Fox seems, and the Bears as a group seem to be committed to Brian Hoyer over Jay Cutler. This is there. I don't know what bigger indictment there could be of a franchise QB that we'd rather go with Hoyer.
I actually have the Bears pulling this one out at home.
Oh,
I know, partly because of how good Jordan Howard has been on the ground. Mm-hmm. When you have a really efficient run game, and John Fox, if for whatever you want to say about how he feels about his quarterback, it's pretty clear that if you have an over 5 yards per carry running back, he's your man. So that's kind of, to me, that ability to lean on that run game, to me, makes it that just pushes them over the edge. I don't think it's going to be a blowout. I don't think that the Bears fans are going to get to leave in the third quarter because they're up by 30. I think it's going to be a closer game, and I think the Bears pull it out at home.
Howard's busting a lot of John Fox narratives, too. Like, oh, he always runs a committee. Howard's played over 90% of the snaps both of his games. But John Fox doesn't trust rookies.
John Fox runs a committee when his running backs aren't efficient. When you have an efficient running back, he will, or an efficient something.
Or when you take two running backs in the first round, then you play both of them.
That's different.
I love this. These two
the dynamic.
I like it very much because they know
I like
about
listening.
They know about numbers and stuff. Like you and I just like
we them. Just have feelings.
This oh, you one, might love feelings.
This so game figures to be a war. That's what Hanson and I talk about. Yeah. Like, we just talk in platitudes, you know. Yeah. But this actually had some numbers to it. And
some bad statitude.
Oh,
a little bad statitude.
What's happening?
Bad statitude indeed. All right. Kent Brown, we'll miss you, fella. Best wishes to you going forward here. Enjoy the rest of your college football season. Look at him. What a camera.
Hi, Kent.
The Kent shirt.
Cynthia, thank you for coming back. Let's make a regular thing of it. The great Cynthia Freeland again.
Game day
morning.
Make sure my hair is dry.
NFL Fantasy
it is not.
Live and beyond. Not really. Matt Harmon, speaking of great, NFL.com. You find all of his fantasy insights there. Are you still doing wait a second.
His next gen stuff needs to be hyped more because it is so good.
Oh, thank you. I should be working on it right now.
Wait a
second. Don't tell them.
Did we all make our pick on the Jags?
No, you didn't.
Yeah, we did kind of.
We need to throw some flags.
And I have a little bit of news to report to you, too, that might change one of your other picks, but just saying.
Okay, go ahead. Lay it on us.
Okay, so make your pick on here, and then I'll tell you the news.
Oh, okay. We got to wrap it up here. We'll do that after the fact. In fact, Cynthia Freeland, plug your Twitter account. You can tweet it out.
C Freeland at Twitter, or at C Freeland, whatever.
There you go.
Twitter.
At
Twitter.com.
I don't ever, yeah.
At Twitter.com. I'm taking the Jags, by the way, just to make it clear. Everybody's on board?
Except
Cynthia. Throw it.
Again.
Throw it.
Right. Well, no, but you're the one. We need to throw it at him.
I need to throw it at you.
All right. We'll be back with more Huey and Applesauce for you after week 6, and we'll get you ready for week 7. In the meantime.
Hey, Dave.
Yes.
Why was the pterodactyl eating a worm?
Why?
Because it was an early bird.
I love it. It's the earliest of all birds.
The earliest bird.
That was a good one, MVP.
Thank you very much.
Laugh. All right, here we go. We'll talk with you next week. In the meantime, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.